thousands, if not millions, of devout Catholics receive the Eucharist every week and possibly even every day. And I keep coming back to the question, why haven't we become saints yet? I began looking into this question in another video where the Blessed Mother gave us some answers. This time, Jesus himself, in a scripture hiding in plain sight, reveals other aspects that you have possibly not considered. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into this. Now, when we look at our Catholic faith, it is a faith of both and. That word and is extremely important. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Human and divine. Jesus and Mary, male and female, husband and wife. This and represents marriage. And when there's marriage, there's life. When there's divorce or separation, there's death. Now, there's this specific type of and that I think we are not looking at when it comes to the Mass. This is a scripture that Jesus gives us. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. When you fast, when you give alms, when you pray. We need to understand this. Now, in the Jewish mind and in the mind of God, when you would pray, you would always fast. They took it for granted. That's why sometimes they don't even mention it. They saw it as a way of preparing for prayer and entering more deeply into it. And since you were not eating and you had that money left over from the meal, giving that money made sense as a sacrifice, both for God, but given to the poor. So those three things were always united together. In this sense, they're like this Holy Trinity. There's a special relationship with prayer and God the Father, almsgiving and Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, and the sacrifice, the fire of the Holy Spirit with fasting. When those three are present, incredible things happen. However, we don't always see the connection with these three in the Mass. The other day, when I was at Mass, it became all too clear to me that the Mass is supposed to have all three of these united in it. Obviously, the Mass is the greatest prayer that we have, but it's not just a prayer. It's also a place where we give alms. Where? In the tithe. Now, that tithe is not this extra detail. If you understand how all of these three fit together, and that in the Jewish mind and in the mind of God, looking at the scriptures, if you're praying, you have to fast, and therefore you have to also give alms, and if you're not doing one, you really can't do the other, then you see that the tithe in the Mass is essential, and it's how you participate in the sacrifice. People often overlook this. Probably in the last 6 to 7 months, my wife and I have greatly understood this. And because of this, because of us wanting to participate more fully in the Mass, we tithe more than we did before. And we see the connection between how much we put in relative to how much we make and Jesus' sacrifice. The way we think of it is simple. If we want to share a lot in the sacrifice, a lot in the benefits of the Eucharist, then we need to give a higher percentage in that tithe. I invite you to do the same. I invite you, in fact, to see that the Eucharist is offering you something infinite. You want to share more in it, you have to give more. But then comes the fasting. Now, in the past, before Vatican II, the Church had stricter fasting rules, where you had to fast from the night before. That's why a lot of Masses were held at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and most people would go to these early Masses, and it was very rare that you would go to a noon Mass, and that's why there was never afternoon Masses, because they simply did not expect people to fast from the day before all the way till 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. on a Sunday. Now the Church, to make it easier for people, only requires a 1 hour fast. How long should we fast before we receive communion? Let me suggest that we should use Jesus Christ himself as the prototype. How long did he fast before he died on the cross? That's a question I want to have you think about. Now think about when the Last Supper was taking place. Most likely they were eating the night before. It was Thursday night. They were eating at 6 or 7 p.m., possibly 8 p.m. So they were finishing their meal roughly 7, 8, or 9 p.m. From that moment forward, he didn't eat anything. Presumably, he also didn't drink anything. What time did he die on the cross? 3 p.m. Now, if we look at that, it's important because everything Jesus does was extremely intentional. So if he fasted for a certain amount of time, it wasn't an accident. It didn't just happen to be that way. He was specifically doing something to have something happen in his body. Now, if you count the hours from 8 p.m. to 3 p.m., that's 19 hours. So Jesus was fasting anywhere from 16 to 18 to 19 hours. Now, if you look it up, what is happening in the body when you fast that long? Now, there's a word, I'm somewhat familiar with it, but it's called autophagy. What is that? That's when the body enters into this special mode where essentially it is recycling and eating dead cells and maybe cancer cells. It's going into this mode where the body is literally renewing itself. Jesus knew this. So we should think of it that it is quite profound that at the moment when he was renewing humanity spiritually, 3 p.m. dying on the cross, his body was doing the same thing. He was renewing his body physically. He was in that mode physically and spiritually. So being in a state of autophagy does something to our body and therefore soul that disposes us more spiritually speaking as well, to what the Eucharist can give us. This is what I want to suggest to you. So if the church was asking us before to fast longer, maybe they didn't know about autophagy, but God was using those rules for a reason. This is my challenge to you. I want you to get more out of the Eucharist. You're presumably receiving the Eucharist and you're thinking, I want more out of it. The Eucharist has more to give me. This is what I want you to do. This Sunday, do two things. Increase your tithe relative to how much you earn. So let me suggest to you to double it. So if you give $5, give 10. If you give 10, give 20, etc. Give more in that tithe and see the connection between the tithe and the sacrifice. In fact, there's a very powerful prayer that the priest prays in the Mass that is actually showing us this. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. What's the priest's sacrifice? Well, it's the Eucharist that he's presenting. So those two sacrifices are together offered to God. So give more in the tithe. And then fast longer, at least 15 to 19 hours. Try it one Sunday. Try it two Sundays, and then reflect back on whatever it is that you were doing before and see how much fruit was I gaining from the Eucharist before. Maybe there was a lot. Maybe there was a lot of change and growth and holiness in your life. Let me suggest to you that if you do this in imitation of Christ, who gave everything and was fasting for up to 19 hours, if we imitate him and use the formula that he's placing right in front of us, the full power of all the graces of the Eucharist will be poured out into our lives in ways that we have never seen before. My friends, I invite you to have the courage to take up this challenge. I will see you in the next one.